kicks off a fire alarm on deck 231. The fire alarm not only diverts the SEC team standing three corridors away, but also sees deck 230 evac'd as per standard safety protocols. In 5 minutes, the entire floor is cleared of personnel. At a signal from his guardian angel, Dipshit is out the door like his ass is on fire. He runs to the service elevators, which should be locked down when a fire alarm kicks off. But lo and behold, his angel has them wide open. He dashes inside and stabs at the habitat level buttons. But there's no real need. SEC teams are mustering two levels up, waiting for fire crews to arrive and deal with the non-existent blaze. 4 minutes later, he's stepping out onto the habitat level, out of breath, drenched, looking for all intents and purposes like he's just spent an hour in the gym. He makes his way back to his domicile and shuts the door. I bet my lefty, the little bastard, spent the next 10 minutes thanking every god in the book, Allah all the way through to Yahweh. Either that or puking his guts up.
Participants, bite me, sit B. Date, 7:27:75. Timestamp, 04:49 hours.
Sit B. You still up? You on stims?
Bite me. Never sleeping again. Heart ready to burst.
Touching. Is it love?
Har har. Stress and adrenaline.
You've been talking dirty with your boyfriend?
You are so lucky I cannot be bothered coming all the way up the other end of the ship to thump you.
Taking out the frustration of separation, are we?
Keep misbehaving. I won't share what I got.
This is me behaving. Spill.
I told you already. There were executions out of the court-martials.
Yes.
Found out why. For disobeying orders from Aiden. Orders to shoot the civvies from the Copernicus. Orders from the crazy AI.
If those weren't orders from General Torrance, then why enforce?
Can't admit Aiden took control. Imagine the panic.
Fuck.
Yep.
Are they any closer to getting Aiden back up? Do not want visitors.
Don't think so. But we might have a prob sooner than that. Got inside. Sending you docs.
Lover boy helped? Our young heroes won the day.
You want them or not?
Shutting up.
Sending.
Briefing note. Included here is a highlight reel of the info Grant accessed from the Alexander servers, documenting activity aboard the Copernicus in the 6 months prior to its destruction. Take note of dates and read with the lights on.
Intercepted personal message on board system Copernicus. Memorandum for Captain Riker from Teresa Steingart, M.D., Chief Medical Officer, Copernicus, WUC, 7891. Incept, 12:17 hours, 3:20:75. Subject, pathogen.
Captain, having completed examinations of all 1,896 surviving members of the Carenza attack, now residing aboard Copernicus, I can confirm several suspicions. The Baytek assault did include the use of a biochemical agent, apparently delivered via orbit-to-atmosphere missile above the Carenza Hermium refinery. This explains why the illness is confined to the Copernicus. Ours was the only ship to land shuttles near the refinery and therefore the only ship to take on afflicted refugees. I regret to inform you that due to the disorder of the evacuation and the sheer number of evacuees, proper quarantine protocol was not followed by Copernicus flight crews. After the evacuation, Copernicus medical staff received continuous and recurrent reports of acute post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, among evacuees. Symptoms included anxiety, nausea, tachycardia, and headaches that were often so severe as to induce physical impairment, tremors, seizures, and in many cases, catatonia, paralysis. However, as this was a logical reaction for civilians surviving a large-scale military incursion, standard treatments for PTSD were initially employed, counseling and pharmaceutical remedies. It was not until Copernicus crew members who were not directly involved in the assault or rescue operations began reporting debilitation from these same effects that we began to suspect a larger problem. I will send another memo with a list of afflicted passengers and crew. Teresa Stengert, M.D.
Intercepted personal message on board system Copernicus. Memorandum for Captain Riker from Kurt Hader, Chief Engineer, Copernicus WUC 7891. Incept, 1549 hours, 3:27:75. Subject, air filters.
Harry, short answer, no. The air recycle system isn't made to deal with an airborne agent circulating throughout the ship. We could possibly rig up some kind of ionizing field over the CO2 scrubbers to filter out organic matter, but this isn't going to stop carriers spreading the agent person to person, nor can I give any guarantee that the pathogen will be eliminated in the air we do recycle. This is exactly why we have fucking quarantine protocols. An airborne biological agent, loose inside a sealed metal can floating in space, has nowhere to fucking go except back into us. As of writing this, I have 9 of my crew down with the shakes, as the locals are affectionately calling it. You want to get pissed at someone? Get pissed at the flight deck controller who let those pit diggers out of the goddamn hangar base and into general population. K.
A safety announcement brought to you by your friendly Copernicus medical staff. For more information, contact your designated Copernicus ensign. Hey, kids! Help Astro Marine Tim win the fight against the space bugs by following these simple rules. Always wear your face mask. Always wash your hands. Always seal doors and bulkheads behind you. If you see someone with the shakes, tell a crew member immediately. Intercepted personal message on board system Copernicus. Memorandum for Captain Riker from Teresa Stengart, M.D., Chief Medical Officer, Copernicus, WUC 7891. Incept, 10:31 hours, 6:15:75. Subject, pathogen.
Captain, we are attempting to determine timings now. Anecdotal evidence from the Carenza attack indicates an incubation period of almost 24 hours, but we have data that conflicts with this. The virus is airborne. Its debilitating effects vary widely. Some people are catatonic for 3 to 4 days. Others recover within 24 hours. Full recovery is almost universal, save in cases of the young or frail. However, there's no guarantee against reinfection. That people can be reinfected at all is something of a concern. Logically, once the immune system fights off the incursion, antibodies should prevent reinfection by the same pathogen. This would suggest the virus is mutagenic in nature. I would hypothesize the bioweapon was in a prototypical state when the Carenza population was exposed. Perhaps this attack was a live fire exercise on the part of Baytech forces. Latest figures follow. Please note, the virus is being referred to as Phobos, from the ancient Greek, by many of the technicians in their written reports. Dr. Salinger has a love of antiquity, and I'm afraid the nickname has stuck. Teresa Stengert, M.D. P.S. I missed you last night. Do you think we can make time soon?
Copernicus Security. Arrest Report. Incept 61775, DNA Recog ID 771-1COP17. Arrest Number 78374. Arresting Officer, Blythe Randall, Sergeant. Arrestee, Morton Mark, age 31. Carenza Refugee Ident, KR985. Consumed drugs, alcohol? No. If armed, type of weapon, pipe wrench, screwdriver. Charge, murder, first degree, 4 counts. Narrative. At 2345 hours, shipboard, myself and Corporal Adler were called to a disturbance in temporary domicile, Green 12B. The habitat was sealed. Residents of neighboring domiciles reported brief screaming from within some 15 minutes prior. Utilizing all access clearance, Corporal Adler and myself entered the domicile, suppressors out and up. The body of the first victim, Marianne Morton, age 29, KR986, was found near the front door. Zero life sign on bioscan. Brief inspection revealed the victim's head had been crushed by blunt force trauma. Spray patterns on walls suggested repeated blows. Second victim, Stephanie Morton, age 12, KR987, and third victim, Oliver Morton, age 8, KR988, were also discovered in this room. Zero life sign on bioscan. Brief inspection revealed multiple similar wounds on skull and chest resulting from blunt force trauma. Second and third victims' eyes had been removed. Infrared bioscan revealed one life sign in the domicile's bedroom. Corporal Adler announced our presence and asked the resident, later identified as Mark Morton, to exit the bedroom with hands raised. Resident replied that we were with them and demanded we not look at him. Resident became increasingly agitated, in my experience, displaying psychosis similar to tetraphenytrithylamine addicts, finally exiting the bedroom, covered head to foot in blood, with weapons raised. Corporal Adler and I both discharged our suppressors, scoring 4 direct hits to resident's torso region, all of which failed to subdue the resident. The resident closed to striking range, and I was forced to engage in hand-to-hand combat. With the aid of Corporal Adler, I managed to subdue the resident. Corporal Adler is still in critical condition due to injuries sustained during this altercation. With the resident restrained, I called for backup and proceeded into the bedroom, where I discovered the remains of the fourth victim, Julianne Morton, age 4, KR989. Victim's eyes had also been removed. Intercepted personal message on board system Copernicus. Memorandum 4, Captain Riker. From Teresa Steingart, M.D., Chief Medical Officer, Copernicus, WUC 7891. Incept, 1447 hours, 7775. Subject, Phobos.
In answer to your first question, yes, it's mutating. You're talking about a closed loop with recycled air supplies and almost 2,000 more people than are supposed to be on board, all breathing each other's air and contaminating each other's space. The Copernicus has essentially become a giant petri dish. Second question. No, we can't. I can only presume Baytek intended it to be an urban pacification device. The virus originally attacked the fear center of the brain, inducing catatonia. So, you hit an urban population with it, everyone falls over paralyzed for 24 to 48 hours, and the troops roll in with zero resistance. But now, the virus appears to be attacking the synaptic gap, along with serotonin reuptake mechanisms doing damage similar to what you're going to see in long-term dust addicts. It's essentially psychosis in a bottle. The damage is permanent. Anyone who goes down is not coming back. Third, I don't think I can. I really want to, but I just can't get away. Maybe tomorrow. I miss you too, Teresa.
Copernicus Medical, Laboratory Report. Science Officer Tobias Salinger, M.D., Teresa Steingart, M.D., Assisting. Incept 7-12-75.
Hour 14. Subject 72 is displaying behavior patterns typical of early Phobos Alpha victims. Increased adrenaline levels, heart palpitations, hyperventilation, tremors, general unease, nameless dread. Symptoms typically manifest 12 to 24 hours after initial infection with Alpha strain. Symptoms of mutated strain, which we have named Phobos Beta, appear to be more rapid in onset. The latest batch of lab rats, Dr. Steingart infected, displayed psychotic tendencies within 8 hours. I theorize Phobos Alpha was designed to be spread by initially encouraging minor fear responses and only debilitates its carrier with time. Initially, and insidiously, victims will seek out contact with others, particularly loved ones, in an attempt to deal with the dread, like a frightened infant might seek its mother. The victim often seeks physical comfort, hand-holding, embraces, ultimately increasing the chances of spreading infection. It's genius, really. Awful, horrifying genius. Hour 22. Subject 72 has entered a state of full catatonia. Symptoms include muscle rictus, lowered heart rate and core temperature, limited pupillary response. Lack of proper equipment and trained personnel make this theory difficult to confirm. But I suspect infection initially targets the sensory cortex and not the thalamus, as Dr. Steingart suggested. However, we both agree the effect on the amygdala, which decodes emotions and determines possible threats, is profound. Afflicted people will often convince themselves they are not afflicted, or actively avoid treatment, for fear of punishment, persecution, the isolation of quarantine. I had intended to begin comparing the cellular resistances of Alpha and Beta. However, one of the assistants, Jane, lovely girl, dropped an entire batch of beta-infected blood work on the floor. Glass everywhere. Not her fault, really. There's too many of us crowded in here. I was considering sending them all off to get some sleep. But if we don't crack this, nobody will. Besides, it's good to be around people. The thought of being alone right now is terribly disconcerting. Hour 27. Subject 72. Still in state of paralysis. BPM and breathing below half of human norms. I have reviewed Dr. Steingart's work on the damage the virus inflicts on synaptic vessels and found several errors. I swear that woman wouldn't know a hippocampus from a hippopotamus. One would think, since she's co-authoring this report, she'd spend more time helping with it instead of enjoying our good captain's company. Someone more prone to paranoia might suspect she's simply looking to steal my work and publish it herself. Presuming we ever make it to a bloody jump gate. Presuming they want us to make it to a jump gate. Hour 28. Subject 72 showing minor muscle movement. Heart rate increased 12% in the last 30 minutes. Body's immune system is fighting the pathogen. As previously surmised, Alpha strain was never intended to permanently disable victims. Still, Subject 72 is displaying remarkable resilience for something so inherently weak. 23 of us, packed in this tiny lab, 46 eyes, sweating away in these flimsy hazmat suits. So thin, so feeble, so little between it and us and us and it. My foot hurts. My skin itches. Jane asked if I was well. Nosy little slip. None of her business. Couldn't tell her, though. No. Smile and nod. Smile and nod. Nod, nod, nod. One of the assistants? Can't remember his name. Roberts? Robbins? Talks to himself beneath his breath as he works. Thinks no one can hear him, but I can. I hear. I see. Oh, God. Hour 29. Stengart, finally back in the lab. I wonder if she had time to shower. Wonder if I'd smell the captain's stink if I peeled that suit open. She's off dining in Riker's quarters and whispering her lies about me, and meanwhile I'm stuck down here with these ignorant monkeys muttering to themselves and f***ing each other with their eyes, and all the while things are getting worse, and no one is doing anything to stop it but me. Jane is looking at me again, with those pretty green things floating in her head. Stop looking at me. Hour 30. Stop looking at me. 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 Stop looking at me, you filthy f***ing bitch.
Participants Bite Me, Sit B. Date 7-27-75. Timestamp 05-12 hours.
Bite Me. Read it.
Sippy.
F**k. Well said.
This is why they cut CiviComs a few weeks back. The shutdown date lines up with when it mutated.
We never really thought that was for maintenance.
This is why Aiden blasted Copernicus.
We don't know that for sure.
Uh-huh.
We have a bigger problem.
Bigger than the AI killing a third of the fleet? Bigger than it having to?
The Copernicus shuttle survivors made it to the Alexander.
Makes sense. They took Aiden offline as soon as it X'd out Copernicus.
We don't know that. I found more stuff. I was so sure she was in there. Now I'm praying she isn't. Can't stop shaking.
Wish I could say more than, I'm sorry.
Nobody can. I have to tell Ezra what I found. And the survivors are all just penned up in Bay 4. With each other. For now.
F**k.
Yeah. F**k.
Participants Bite Me via system route Ann Chow. E. Mason via system route David Torrance. Date 7-27-75, timestamp 06-31 hours.
Bite Me. Ez, I got something.
Mason E., Lieutenant Second. On Jimmy?
Yeah. It's not conclusive, though. I think we should wait for more before you read.
Hell no, send now. Is he okay?
Look, I didn't want to lie to you and say I didn't find anything, but don't think you should read. Honest.
Why not? What happened? Caves?
Look, it's not good, but it's too soon to know. Can you just trust me?
Why? What's wrong? Jesus, talk to me.
I'm not trying to make this worse. There was a lot of stuff in those files.
Do you know something or not? This is my friend, damn it. He was there when I was losing my shit over you. He was there looking out for me when my dad died and I had no one else. I owe him, Katie.
He was there when I wasn't, is what you're saying.
Jesus. This is not about you and me. Tell me what you know.
Promise me you won't do anything stupid. Promise me you understand it won't help him to have you in trouble. Ezra.
Fine. I promise.
I mean really promise. Not say whatever you have to say to get what you need. I can't lose you, Ez. You're all I have.
God, it's really bad, isn't it?
You could make it worse if you do something stupid. Put us both in danger.
I promise. Cross my heart and hope to die.
Just cross your heart.
Okay.
Sent.
Briefing note. After action report from UTA Marine First Lieutenant Winifred McCall concerning the incident in Hangar Bay 4 of the Alexander.
After action report, Ministry of the Interior, United Terran Navy, Alexander Fleet. Incept 7-26-75, 11-17 hours, shipboard time. Location, United Terran Navy Battle Carrier Alexander, Hangar Bay 4. Officer ident, Winifred McCall. Rank, First Lieutenant.
At 19:06 hours, shipboard, on 07-25-75, Sigma Squad and I were scrambled to a code blue alert issued by Alexander Command. Squad mustered in a timely fashion to Deck 146, where we were briefed by Executive Officer Leah Miles on behalf of General Torrance. Sitrep. The Copernicus refugees quarantined in Hangar Bay 4 had engaged in some kind of riot in protest over their conditions. Violence was ongoing. Sigma Squad was ordered to enter the bay and restore order. Video surveillance rigs within the bay had been disabled and/or destroyed, and bioscanners wouldn't penetrate the bay walls, so we'd be proceeding blind. We were issued hot ballistics and authorized for lethal force. We were also equipped with hazardous materials kits, including fully sealed Type A Envir suits. "Why the hazmat gear?" I asked. I already knew the answer. Scuttlebutt had been rife about the sickness on the Copernicus. Everyone knew odds were good at least a few of those refugees were carriers. I just wanted someone in command to acknowledge it. XO Miles glared with those pretty eyes for a good long while before she answered. Miles doesn't like me, see? She's academy-trained and a born politician. She looks at the battlefield commission on my chest and presumes I think I'm better than her. She's a clever one. "Excellent question, Lieutenant," she finally answered. "We suspect a mutated strain of the Phobos virus, now a Class Alpha Zero pathogen, is loose in Bay 4. It's possible none of the refugees are afflicted. However, we're taking no chances. I reiterate, the use of lethal force is authorized. No one without a sealed hazmat suit gets out of that bay alive." "You want us to shoot civilians?" "I want you to protect the 6,000-plus people in this fleet, Lieutenant. I want you to stop, by any means necessary, an afflicted body getting into the Alexander's general population and spreading that pathogen aboard this ship. Hands on hips. I want you to do your job." A few of my rookies conscripted from the Carenza refugees looked a little panicked at that notion. They might know people in the Hangar Bay 4 crowd, after all. They had no training with chemical agents or bioweapons. After 6 months, most barely knew the business end of a VK-85 burst rifle or how to lace their boots right. As ranking officer, I had to toe the company line. But my 2IC, Sergeant James McNulty, stepped up to ask the obvious questions I couldn't. "So if these civvies are infected, why don't we just leave them locked in the bay?" "They have Copernicus engineering staff among them," XO Miles replied. "They're trying to break through the airlocks. Given the tools available, they'll succeed in time." "Why don't we just open the outer doors and space them?" That was Sykes, one of my surlier corporals. Word around the barracks was he got a vid call from his wife 3 days before the Carenza attack, telling him she was running off with her psychoanalyst. She even took their dog. She hated dogs, apparently. "Slam a lid on that noise right now, Corporal," I ordered. "It's a valid question," Miles said. My eyebrows hit the ceiling at that one. Cold as the belly of the void. Little Leah Miles. She turned to Sykes. The refugees have disabled the locking mechanism on the outer bay doors. We can no longer operate them from the bridge. They must have suspected flushing them was an option. Wonder what gave them that idea, McNulty muttered. Further questions? She asked, looking at me. Silence. Right. Good hunting. We suited up. No banter among my boys. No jokes. Bad sign. I was watching my Carenza rooks close, wondering if they were going to hold nerve when ordered to open fire on people they knew. If the concept of the greater good was going to sink through to those trigger fingers, past notions like loyalty and friendship and love. In the end, I made the call to bench them. Keep them in reserve outside the second airlock. It meant Sigma was going in short-handed, but there wasn't a soul among them who didn't look relieved. We proceeded to the hangar decks, bridge control cycling us through the three heavy-duty doors one at a time. We still had our all-access passes, but command had issued a security override on Bay 4. Each airlock closed behind before the new one opened in front and cycled through a full Atmo purge. Command reported the first inner door had already been compromised. Seemed the mice had been busy. Ordering my reserves to hold position at the second door and kill anything that didn't ID itself, I requested command open the final seal. The door shuttered wide. The hangar beyond was unlit, black as the empty past the outer door bays. We engaged thermal vision and stepped inside. VK's ready. Safety's off, I ordered. McNulty took point, creeping into the dark. I could see welding gear and industrial cutters scattered about the inner door, scorch marks on the titanium. The silence was almost total. It had been days since they took Aiden offline and cut the main drive, but I still wasn't used to it. Those engines used to be a constant. A thunder you could set your back against. A heartbeat. Gone now. And mine wasn't loud enough to replace it. Yet. The bay was huge, stretching off in every direction, but I took my best guess and motioned for Sigma to proceed. I could see the abandoned Copernicus shuttles in the darkness. 9 bulky scarabs, a makeshift barricade welded around them, like some circled wagon train from a history VR. I thought I saw a flicker of movement in a porthole for an instant, and then it was gone. We were on our way toward them when we found the first bodies. I've seen people die. Die hard. Die messy. Job like mine, you live with the Reaper every day. But if you're unlucky, it's not the bullets that kill you in this gig. It's moments like these. Killing you one piece at a time. There were 20 of them. All up. 11 males, 9 females. Children through to middle age. I'm not sure where the heads were. We never found them. They were stripped to the skin. Twisted on the floor in some kind of pattern. It wasn't until I vaulted up onto a fuel drum and got a bird's eye view that I realized they were arranged to form letters. 2 words spelled out on the floor in cold, naked meat. Help us. Jesus Christ, Sykes breathed. Not sure he's listening, chum, McNulty said. Stow it, McNulty, I ordered. Knife wounds, Sykes said, kneeling by one of the bodies. Multiples. Well, whoever did it probably wasn't considerate enough to cut their own throat afterward, I said. They're still in here. Eyes open. Stay chill. I could feel McNulty's eyes on me in the dark. What the hell is going on here, LT? Screaming. We heard it in the distance, echoing through the Alexander's guts. A girl. Pleading. Move! I hissed, and we were running. Sweat on my skin, finger on my trigger. I could see more bodies crumpled in the dark, but didn't stop long enough to inspect them. Broken skulls and open wrists. This was no protest. This was no riot. shapes appearing out of the darkness ahead. Five of them. Voices babbling. There she is! Hold her still! Help me! The knife! Get the knife! Help! UTA Marines, I bellowed. Freeze! I could see them, covered in blood. Wild-eyed and pale, three men and a woman gathered around a little girl no more than 9 or 10 years old. She was screaming, pleading. A fat man sat atop her chest, crushing the breath out of her. The other three stood over them, iron bars and pipe wrenches in hand, slicked to the elbows in blood. Drop the weapons! McNulty roared. Sigma Squad fanned out around them, red laser sights cutting through the black. You fuckers! The woman spat. Now you come? You left us in here to die! Shouted another. Drop the weapons! Step away from the girl and put your hands on your head! I shouted. Miss, you don't understand. The fat man moaned. I realized he was crying, tears cutting trails down blood-stained cheeks. She's with them. She's with them. Drop the weapon! The man was struggling to breathe, fingers drumming on the bloody metal in his fist. Eric! The woman said. She's with them! You stupid motherfucker! Drop it! Sykes bellowed. Drop it now! I looked across the dark to that girl's face. Big brown eyes, one hand up to shield her head, so little, so helpless. Nothing between her and the end but us. The fat man raised his pipe wrench. Eric, don't! Fire! Muzzle flashes lit the dark. Our VKs roared, and when we were done, there were four new bodies on the floor, staring sightless up into the black above our heads, waiting for a god who wasn't coming. The girl's wails filled the quiet. McNulty stowed his VK, ran across the carnage, and picked her up from the bloody grill. He held her to his chest, those big arms wrapped around her tight, doing all the right things, making all the right noises. Hush, baby, it's okay. You're all right now. Uncle Jimmy's got you. He'd have made a good dad, McNulty. I don't know where she had the shiv. Up her sleeve? In her dress? I caught a glimpse of silver, a flash of red. McNulty roared as the blade punched through his hazmat suit and the ballistics weave underneath. Our gear is built to take a knife from a charging gorilla or a point-blank burst from a heavy rifle. God knows where she got the strength. McNulty shouted, throwing her aside and clutching his wounded arm. The girl hit the deck, twisted up in a crouch, lips peeled away from yellow teeth. She leapt at Private Henderson and put her shiv through his haz mask, punched right through the eye hole, her stare locked on mine as his body hit the deck. Big and brown and brimming with hate. Bloody steel in one little red fist. Don't look at me! She hissed. Sykes put her down. Single shot, right between the eyes. Dropped her before I could blink. And then we heard them. Calls out in the dark. One after another after another. Something skittered across the deck at us, fizzing and spitting tiny sparks. Pipe bomb. Grenade! The blast took out Gandolfini, Montano, and Parker. The second would have taken off my legs if I'd moved a little slower. I could see shapes in the dark. Dozens of them. More pipe bombs raining from the gantries above. The explosions lit up the hangar's belly like fireworks on Terra Day, lit up the body of that 10-year-old girl with a bullet in her face and a bloody knife still clutched in her hand. And I did what any officer with a brain would have done. Battlefield commission or not. Fall back! Fall back! To Sigma's credit, we held formation as we peeled off, laying down suppressing fire as I grabbed McNulty and slung his arm around my shoulder. The hostiles were smart. I'd heard that Phobos turned you mindless, but they were moving with intent, trying to cut off our retreat. A dozen VK pulse grenades talked them out of it, cleared us a path back to the airlock. McNulty was cursing beneath his breath the whole time, calling himself stupid. He didn't seem too badly wounded, though. I thought his gear saved him from the worst of it. It wasn't until we'd sealed the secondary airlock behind us that I realized how wrong I was. As the Carenza rookies gathered about us and babbled, Exo Miles' voice rang in my headset. Sigma, this is Comm. Lieutenant McCall, report status. Over. Comm, this is Sigma. At least 40 hostiles in the bay. Henderson, Parker, Gandolfini, and Montano are down. McNulty is injured. Over. Sigma Comm, did any hostiles make it through? Over. Comm, Sigma. Negative. They're sealed outside airlock 2. Cycle us through. Over. Sigma, Comm. You said you have a squad member injured? Confirm. Over. Comm, Sigma. Affirmative. McNulty took a knife wound. It's not serious, but is his suit intact? Over. McNulty looked at me, then, and I saw it in his eyes. Comm, Sigma, is his suit intact? He had blue eyes, McNulty. Pretty as oceans. Lieutenant, is his suit intact? Negative. Winifred, you cannot bring that man through the airlock. Do you understand me? Leah, Fred, you cannot bring him through. The battlefield commission on my chest weighed about 10 tons right then. Made it hard to breathe. Impossible to speak. It's not the bullets that kill you. It's moments like these. One piece at a time. In the end, McNulty spoke for me. Comm, this is McNulty. I copy. Order acknowledged. Over. I found my voice then. Barely. Sergeant, forget it, LT. He patted his rifle. If they make it through the airlock before you come back with the cavalry, I got a little something waiting for them. We are coming back for you, Sergeant. He smiled then. Of course you are. The airlock cycled open behind us. A full detachment of MPs were waiting, suppressors and VKs trained on us, just in case we tried to bring McNulty through. Cold as the belly of the void, little Leah Miles. Not sure what I ever saw in her. McNulty gave us a salute. I could still see his smile. No fear in his eyes, then. Just duty. He'd have made a good dad. Hey, LT, he said as the door cycled closed. Yes, Sergeant? You see Ezra Mason around. Remind him his first kid's name is James. Or Jamet. He patted his breast pocket. And tell him not to worry. I've got Astro Princess to keep me warm. Astro Princess? He'll know what I mean. I'd prefer 1,000 bullets to a moment like this. Roger that, Sergeant. Take care, LT. That was the last we saw of him. I am officially recommending Sergeant James McNulty for the Silver Star for bravery. First Lieutenant Winifred McCall, UTA Marine Division, Battle Carrier Alexander.
Participants: Bite Me via System Root Ann Chow, E. Mason via System Root David Torrance. Date: 7/27/75. Timestamp: 06:46 hours.
Bite Me. Ez, please tell me you're still there.
Mason E., Lieutenant Second. Those bastards. Those motherfuckers. A silver star for his fucking coffin?
Ez, please stay at the keyboard. Please talk to me. Please. He's not dead yet. They don't say that.
They left him in there. What happens when those lunatics break through to the second airlock? We have to get him out of there. Can you hack the bay doors?
I can't. Promise I'm not just saying that. She says in the report their all-access passes don't work on the bay doors. Command has an override in place. Please, Ez, don't do anything stupid. We have to think. You're no use to anyone in the hole. Nor shot.
Get me some schematics. I'll go down there and cut him out myself.
And then what? Do you think for a second that's what he'd tell you to do?
Katie, I can't leave him. He's dead if he stays in there.
You promised me. He knew what he was doing. Believe me, if I saw a way out, I'd take it. But I can't change this. And you promised me you wouldn't get yourself killed, too. You can't.
Promises are just words. They don't mean a thing.
Words don't mean anything? Are you f***ing kidding me? Words are all we have right now. You're all I have. You can't leave him. But you can leave me. What about when you said you loved me? When you said you wanted the best for me? All that was just crap, was it? Doesn't mean anything as soon as there's something that matters more.
Katie, I do love you. God. You're all I think about. Every time I close my eyes, I see you. Every time I dream, you're there. I think about us and how I messed it up, and it's like someone is tearing my insides out.
Then don't get yourself killed. I'm hurting for him because you are, even if I don't know him. But he chose to stay there. He knew what it meant. He'd never forgive you if you got yourself sick or shot. Not if he's any kind of friend. What you do when shit like this happens is you live. You survive it. That's how you honor the ones you lost.
He's not lost yet. I can't just sit here and do nothing.
You give me one thing you can actually do. One thing that might have a chance of saving his life, and we'll talk. Making demands based on info you shouldn't have gets you nowhere. Maybe gets you shot. And who says they're doing nothing?
I do. What's one more drone or bruiser or comtech to these people? We're just statistics to command, just numbers.
That doesn't answer my question, Ez. I'm not saying don't care about him. I'm saying don't get killed for no reason. Please. I won't be okay.
What does that even mean?
It means screw you for making me get into this when I don't want to. But I f***ing love you too. And I won't be okay if you get yourself shot. So please, please just don't. Please don't make me sit over here freaking out about what you might be doing.
Whoa. Back up about 3 paragraphs there, cowgirl.
Please, Ez. Ez?
Okay. Okay. I won't do anything stupid.
I'm so sorry. Truly.
God, I wish you were here.
Me too. But we're way past 7 minutes. I'm so sorry, but I have to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Stay safe, please, for me.
I will. For you.
You promise?
I promise.
Intercepted personal message on board system Hypatia. To David Torrance, D. Torrance Alexander on board. From Ann Chow, A. Chow Hypatia on board. Date 7/27/75. Timestamp 09:05 hours. Subject, offer.
David, I've done everything you've asked. I've tested and trained civilians and sent them across for conscription. I've stripped my ship to re-equip the Alexander. I've passed on what I believe to be misinformation to my crew and the refugees aboard the Hypatia, advising them the Lincoln was responsible for the destruction of the Copernicus and the deaths of their friends and families. To say I am uneasy with this would be an understatement. I had friends and colleagues aboard that ship. I've cooperated at every turn. At this stage, I cannot continue to operate in the dark. Our long-range scopes are now picking up the Lincoln in pursuit of our fleet. If we're seeing her now, I assume you've known she's closing in on us for some time. We burned our lead when we stopped to resupply. It's not a matter of if the Lincoln will catch us anymore. It's when. And when she catches us, we need to be able to fight her. We estimate she'll close to weapons range in just under 3 days. 70 hours, to be precise. We need your defense grid, your railguns, your nukes. You need to bring your artificial intelligence back online, David. And if something's preventing you from doing that, you need to let us help. I've still got my skeleton crew here, and they're damn good at what they do. Give us access to your systems and let us help you. We're in this together. A quarter of your ship's crew are conscripted civilians right now. Don't discount our help just because my crew are civilians, too. I look forward to your earliest response. An Chow, Captain, Science Vessel Hypatia.
Intercepted personal message on board system Alexander. To An Chow, A Chow Hypatia on board. From David Torrance, D Torrance Alexander on board. Date 7/27/75. Timestamp, 10 hundred hours. Subject, offer.
Anne, I've arranged logins and a secure channel for your tech crew, which will allow them to work with mine in running scenarios. No other crew members are to use the secure channel. It is available for designated personnel only. Be advised, the secure channel is considered a military asset. And while they're assisting on this project, your people are subject to military law. If I catch any of them, and even the slightest infraction, from checking in on their buddies to f***ing about the situation, I won't hesitate to court-martial them. Don't lose your nerve. This is a long way from over, and we're not done yet. David.
Login details. 1 of 2. Zhang Byron. Login. Alexander, Core, Full, Zhang B. Password, SKJH45. 2 of 2. Nestor, Consuela. Login, Alexander, Core, Full, Nestor C. Password, 24RKDGA.
Countdown to Lincoln interception of Alexander Fleet. 70 hours. 24 minutes.
Participants. Bite Me, via system route, Anton Bokloff. Byron Zhang, civilian contractor. Date, 7/27/75. Timestamp, 11:55 hours.
Bite Me. Howdy, neighbor.
Zhang B. Me, what are you doing on this channel?
Oh, now, is that nice?
You piggybacking?
Doesn't look like Corporal Bokloff is using his ID right now, so I thought I'd see what you're up to.
Nothing slows you down.
Unlike you. Looks weird seeing your actual name there. You're totally Sitby in my head. So still don't have this sorted? What's the holdup?
It's not that f***ing easy as the holdup. You here to help?
Affirmative, Sensei. You getting any gen out of the military techs about how things are over there?
Worried about your boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh. Well, that makes the teasing a little less fun.
Answer?
Nope. They're not feeling talkative.
How are you holding up? Have you stopped to eat or drink or sleep lately?
Not a lot of any of those.
You want me to bring you something?
No. Don't want any footage of you coming near me, in case they notice you. It all takes a bit longer, doing it remotely from the Hypatia. Just a little delay on every command, starting to drive me nuts. Not exactly volunteering to head over to the Alexander and do it in person, though.
Any of these military folks know what they're doing?
Some, Guy called Dorian is on it, a couple of the others. But most trying to fill shoes not meant for them. Got promotions after Carenza. But no matter how good you are, trying to work out how to turn Aiden back on under restraint is like trying to work out how to strap down an octopus. Only you have no idea how many arms the fucker has, and you have to work in the dark.
Okay. Show me where I can help. We have to get moving. Lincoln isn't waiting.
You holding up okay?
Trying. Let's go to work.
Intercepted personal message onboard system Hypatia. Classification Hypatia. Internal only. Top clearance. Destroy. No archive. From Captain Ann Chow, Hypatia Command. To Sierra Bowl, Chief Navigation. Kate Irving. To IC Maintenance. Date 7/27/75. Timestamp 12:03. Subject, our options.
Sarah, Kate, I need some quiet calculations. Hypothetical only, of course. But it's appropriate for us, as the senior staff, to consider every potential step necessary to preserve the safety of the Hypatia. Please compile a confidential report considering the navigational ability of our current staff, Sarah. The current condition of our ship, Kate. Our ability to increase velocity and augment defense systems of any description, Kate. My question essentially is this. If we were to leave the Alexander and strike out for safety on our own, through either choice or necessity, what are our chances? I want a list of likely scenarios, a report on our probability of survival, and ideas on any steps we can take to increase our odds. The Hypatia was never meant to brave the black without an escort, but we need to work out how our minnow can survive without her guardian shark. We need to be prepared, just in case. Kate, please don't include Payak in this. I'm aware he's still unhappy about Matt's conscription and would not be willing to assist in compiling any plan for leaving the Alexander behind. In fact, I think he'd probably tell Matt as quick as he could, assuming comms ever come back up. You've got 12 hours to put together as much data as possible for me. Then we'll meet in person to discuss your findings. Anne.
Briefing note. Morale continues to decline aboard Hypatia and Alexander. Rumor mill is in overdrive.
Officer Memorandum, Battle Carrier Alexander, 78V, Incept, 7/27/75, from General David Torrance, Command Staff Eyes Only, Classified.
Officers of the Alexander, this is Rumor Control. At 2017 hours on 7/25/75, Marine Squad Sigma engaged hostile Carenza refugees afflicted with the mutated Phobos virus in Hangar Bay 4. Sigma Squad was unable to secure the area. Several Marines were killed in this altercation. Sigma is now in lockdown. I will state this as plainly as I can. There has been no quarantine breach. No afflicted personnel have gained access to the general population of the Alexander. Any speculation to the contrary is, at best, detrimental, and at worst, treason. Short-handed as we are, and unable to guarantee our marine safety, I have determined to leave Bay 4 sealed, reinforce the doors, and allow the afflicted within to succumb to starvation. With the main drive still offline, Lincoln is now closing to within striking distance. All pilots, even disciplinary cases, are to be reinstated to flight status. Hypatia neurogramming staff have been assisting with the work on Aiden. Tech Eng will report latest results at 0700 hours tomorrow to senior staff. I trust Colonel Sanchez and her team will have found a solution to our AI dilemma by then. You all know fear is poison in battle. You, as officers, must do everything in your power to stop the situation from turning toxic. You will explain this in